what a day.
Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. That's right, Z. Well, let's think about our Heavenly Father this morning. Let's set our minds and our hearts on Him. And when we think about Him, let's think about His love. Because His love is amazing. His love's unfathomable to our natural mind to really comprehend. So today we're going to go ahead and go beyond our natural minds. And we're going to let our spirits and our hearts connect with the reality and the truth that we are loved. That we're loved with an everlasting love. We're loved beyond human reasoning and human understanding. We're loved when we're at our worst, and we're loved when we're at our best. Lord, we thank You that we are loved. We thank You, Lord, that Your love has rescued us and saved us. That Your love has brought us peace and tranquility into our lives, even during storms. Lord, we thank You that Your love has given us a new start and a reason to live, a reason to be alive. Lord, we thank You that Your love has chased us down and ransomed us and bought us back from the works of the enemy and the destroying works that he tried to do in our lives. We thank You, Lord, that Your love never gives up, never fails, that we can always count on You loving us, even when we're unlovely. So, Father, we just now want to bask in Your love this morning and engage with Your love and receive all the benefits that Your love brings and receive back our love. And we can love You, Lord, because You have first loved us. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord.
Your love is a mountain.
Thinking about is the enemy has tried really hard to break our concentration this morning, and I feel as if this on and on and on and on it goes, it's just from one glory to another glory to another glory, and that if we're satisfied where we're at in God, we're never going to go on in God. We're never going to go, if we're happy where we're at in God, we're never going to go up in God. And what I've noticed in my life since I first became a Christian, because I became a Christian as a little girl, but as a servant of God, serving Him and serving people, I've noticed that as I have grown closer to Him, my relationship has gotten richer. It's gone on and on and on. And I didn't have to settle for what I had 10 years ago. I didn't have to settle for what I had even 5 years ago. That He is so deep, He is so rich in love, that He helps us to move from glory onto glory. So this is not a monotonous song. This is a song that is an encouragement to us to move on in God. And let me just tell you something. If it's been a struggle, if it's been a hard Christian walk, it's because God's got something so wonderfully in store for you that the enemy doesn't want you to get it. And it's going to take your choice, and it's going to take your pushing through what the enemy has tried to feed you and put into your mind. And you have to say, no, I am moving on in God. Get out of my way. I mean, we can do that. Because greater is He that's in me, the very power that raised Christ from the dead, it dwells inside of us. It's us that needs to tap into that. So all I'm saying is let that on and on be a depth, a glory to glory kind of experience, not in a monotonous, let's get this song over with kind of thing. Do you know what I'm saying? God loves us. He wants us to get something. And the enemy is already fighting for us not to get it this morning. So let's not let the enemy win. Let's move on in God to something even more than we've ever had before. Tap into that expectation in God. God, you want me to have a little bit more, don't you? And He'll like, yeah, I want you to have a lot more, but if you'll settle for a little, I'll give you a little bit more. He has so much that He's just stockpiled for Zeke and for Roger and for Angela. He's stockpiled it. He's waiting for us to say, oh, Lord, can I have some? I need a little more. I'm kind of standing at a road here that I've been on for a while, and that's not good enough for me anymore. I want to move on. I want to move up in You. Hallelujah.
To be afraid.
So good morning. Just conferring, making sure we got it all together. So at this time, we're going to ask Phyllis to come forward. Phyllis has just returned from California, seeing her daughter and her son-in-law, who is now in hospice. And she wants to share with us a little bit about that trip and about everything that's happened.
Hi. I want to thank my family here for all your prayers. It's got me through it. My son-in-law is in hospice now, and my daughter needs lots of prayer. She's taking care of him, feeding him and changing him. And it's kind of hard for a wife to do that to a husband. It's been a hard trip. I had to leave my daughter, and it hurt. But I can honestly say, with peace in my heart, she's got a wonderful church. The pastor is right there beside her. The associate pastor stayed with her 7.5 hours through the surgery and everything. A gentleman about 70 years old, absolutely phenomenal. And the people in the church have reached out to her, unbelievable. So I didn't leave her alone, but I had to leave her. I had to come home. I had a husband to go home to. But I do want to thank this family. I just am so glad I have you people. And I know that each and every one of you have been praying for me and my family. And we've encountered some other things in the family, and it just seems like it's going to crush down on us. But thank you so very much for everything you've done for me.
Ooh, watch out, Phyllis. Go ahead. So we need to continue and pray for all of the family. I know that Phyllis is deeply needing encouragement and peace and comfort. And when she says it was a hard trip, she means it. She came back and had really hard medical issues happen right after she got home from the trauma, actually, of the trip. So we need to really lift Phyllis up, but also that family, and just pray God's peace over that whole situation. So right now we're going to ask our dear Sally to come forward. Mom and Dad, you can come with her if you want. What? Say what?
What's going on? What are you doing?
Do you know why you're coming up? Yeah.
So this precious one graduated from high school. And I am so proud of her. I mean, I know her mom and dad must be too, but I am really, really proud of her, because it's not easy to graduate from high school nowadays, especially with all those nasty tests that they're giving out. And apparently you did okay, because here you stand, a graduate. Graduate. Complete. Done. Finished. Finito. And now moving on and moving up, right? So here, come stand between me and him. So mom and dad, go ahead and come on up. Let's pray over her. Let's pray God's blessing on her. If everybody will stand and just put your hands out. Anybody else that feels like they want to bless her, come on forward and we'll pray over her. I'll let you pray.
You want me to pray?
Yeah.
Okay. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Sally's life. Lord, we thank you, God, that you are working in her. Lord, that you have helped her get through school. And Lord, that is a blessing. But now, Lord, we ask that as her days come ahead of her, new days, Lord, a new chapter, Lord, that you would guide and lead her, give her wisdom, protect her heart, Lord, as she becomes an adult. Lord, help her to be safe, Lord, from the influences of the enemy. And Lord, help her to learn to trust you and walk with you, Lord, like she never has before. We just bless her now from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, Lord, with the heavenly blessings, Lord. We agree with the heavenly blessings, Lord, that have already been released over her in Christ Jesus that are in those heavenly places, Lord. Release those into her natural life, Lord, so that she is a light and a candle for you, Lord, in dark areas, Lord. So we just pray for her to be blessed and encouraged. And congratulations. Let her sense an congratulations right now from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So, Sally, we have something for you. So, happy graduation from your church family.
And I know you don't want to say anything, right? Or do you? Do you want to say anything? Nope, nope, nope. Okay, you don't have to. We're not going to make you. God bless you. All right. So you go ahead and start talk a little bit. I'll go get the picture ready. Okay.
So my husband and I always have this conversation on Saturdays. Honey, what are you preaching on tomorrow? You mean, what are we preaching on tomorrow? He says. And I said, okay, what are you preaching on tomorrow? And he says, the Bible. And I said, well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing to preach on the Bible. And I said, what do you have? And he said, really nothing. Nothing yet. And I'm like, okay. And I left it at that. And so he knows when I ask, something's kind of ruminating inside me. And he goes, why? What do you have? So I actually have something that I wanted to share. And it's actually going to place my husband and I in a little bit of a vulnerable position in front of you. But we are okay with that. We have always been that way. We've always been really straightforward. We've always been really honest and tried to be very vulnerable in who we are. And when we have failed, we know God has mercifully picked up the slack where we've lacked. And so we're going to talk today. And I didn't even name this. But what I want to say that it is, and you really will not get the reason for the title until the very end, but the title to me is, you're being watched. Okay? Just leave it at that. You are being watched. Yeah, that's perfect. I love that picture. That's awesome, babe. You did a good job. So, if you guys have your Bibles, we are not going to do PowerPoint. So I really would appreciate if anybody can get their Bibles out or their, you know, whatever they have that has all their Bibles in it and, you know, all that stuff. We're going to actually turn to a portion of scripture that I hold very dear in my heart. And I know my husband does too. And there is a lot of meet in this one scripture, just one scripture. And the thing that I love about this one scripture is that we can continue learning and learning and learning and learning from it. So we're going to read 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7. For those of you that don't know, that's in the New Testament toward the end, if you're flipping.
Do you
want to read it, honey?
Sure. This is the ESV version. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered.
So I'm going to read that from the New King James Version. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Them is your wife, the woman of the home, her. Dwell with them with understanding. And what that word, what with understanding means, it means by acknowledging knowledge. Like knowing what you know, we want you to dwell with them with understanding. So what do you know? Well, you're getting ready to find out what you're going to know. giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So that word likewise, that word, anytime you see that, that means so. And so when my husband was reading it, it started with likewise husbands. And so it's Peter, right, that wrote this?
Mm-hmm.
Peter is saying to the husbands, so husband, in other words, let me have your attention. This is really important. This is not something you need to slack on. This is not something that you need to just brush under the carpet. This is big. So I need your full attention is what he's saying to the husbands. So, and the reason he's able to say so is because he's already addressed the wives. And he's actually before that in 1 Peter 2 addressed us with all of the community, meaning the government, your workplace, your life, how you're living your life. But now he's narrowing it down and he's bringing it inside the home. He's bringing it behind closed doors where we all dwell most of the time. And he's saying, so listen up, guys, get a clue. I'm getting ready to say something important. And I really want you to pay attention to that. That's what Peter's saying. Dwell with them. Them is a broad picture of the woman that's sitting beside you. Them is a broad picture of who God has placed in your life forever. But it's her. It's that wonderful lady that sits beside you. Now you may say, hey, wait a minute. It's Father's Day, not Mother's Day. We're getting there. So with what you're getting ready to understand, you're going to be able to treat her a little bit differently, I believe. Do you have anything so far?
Nope.
Okay. Just want to make sure. Okay, so giving honor to the wife. Honor means reverence. Honor means esteem. Honor means treating how you want to be treated. Honor means just, it means, well, what was that?
Gary Smalley.
Gary Smalley.
Yeah, I'm thinking the violin.
Yeah, the violin. So he had this broken violin, and he's teaching this seminar, and he's got this broken violin, and like the strings
horrible.
Are hanging
yeah.
down, and the piece on the bottom is loose. But when you tilt it towards you and you look inside, it's a
Stradivarius
violin. Well, meaning, even its nasty shape, it's worth a whole lot of money.
Well, what he first does is he asks the audience, what do you think this thing's worth? And of course, they think, well, it's garbage. It doesn't look like anything. And so then he turns over, he reads Stradivarius, and you hear the audience go, you know, because most people
it's
know
huge.
That that's, you know, $1 million violin
mm-hmm.
or
more,
at least,
or
yeah.
more. And so their natural reaction is, that's honor.
Yeah.
That's like when someone walks in the room that's like, even if you don't agree with the politics, if President Trump were to walk in, everybody would be pretty amazed. It'd be like, hey, wait a minute. Like,
What's he doing?
Yeah. I mean, everybody would be shocked. It's that kind of honor. It's that kind of feeling inside that you're supposed to give to your wife. Guys, her, not people outside your home, not your boss, though you should because it's already been addressed in the second chapter, but her inside the home where nobody's watching. But aren't they? How many of you dads have kids? I dare say all of you have kids. You influence Apollo, your daddy. All of you men that are sitting here, except Jesse, but he still affects people, especially our kids. You're a father. Your kids are watching you. What are they seeing behind those closed doors? Do you treat people outside the home with honor more than and better than you treat your own wife in the home? That's what this is saying right here. That's where this is pointing to right here. And you are being watched. Your kids are watching you. Our grandkids are watching us. And even when we don't think that they're watching us, they so are watching us. So, okay, so when we go down to the next little phrase, it says, as to the weaker vessel. Now, vessel means a container. Vessel means holding the Spirit of God in you. But it says, as the weaker, E-R, not as a weak vessel, but as the weaker vessel, means everybody's a vessel, even the men. It just so
and everybody's weak.
Well, even everybody's weak, even the men, but we're going to talk about the physical.
Oh, okay.
Not the anatomy physical, but the physical part.
Gotcha.
God has made men bigger, stronger, muscular, more than the woman. And there's a reason for that. I don't think my husband would like to hug another Mike. I think he likes hugging this soft, cushy thing here.
That's totally true. I agree.
I think he likes that. I think it's okay with him that he doesn't have another muscle thing up against him. But what I'm saying is God did that for a reason. It's not weaker. It's just weaker. You know what I'm saying? It's not weaker in the mind, emotions, intelligence, in your thought processing, none of that. That's not the weaker part. The weaker part is actually the flesh. So let's think about this. There's men's tennis and there's women's tennis for a reason. There's the NBA, there's the WNBA for a reason. There's men's golf, there's women's golf for a reason. The big news lately has been this person that changed from a male to a female and now they want to run in the Olympics against other females. Rightfully so, the women are putting up a fuss because this person, even though this person has changed what they look like, it doesn't change what they were inside as God made them. So they have a different anatomy, a different physicality. So they have an X and a Y, and we girls just have the X. God, that's how God made us. So men have.
So he has all the individual has all of the muscular, you know, attributes of a man.
Exactly.
Which can, you know, bench press and usually jump higher, and so
right.
Kind of a little could be unfair in the Olympics.
So, and I'm saying all of this to say this is why this is saying honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, not as the dumb one. Not as the one that doesn't know as much as you. Not as the one that maybe not leave the house during the day because she's taking care of kids or she's doing whatever. Or she is going to a job, but then she's coming home and she's got the whole house to take care of. And she's carpooling the kids and she's doing this and she's doing that. And you're bringing home the bacon and frying it up in a pan. No, weaker just means that her actual vessel, we're talking about a vessel, her vessel is made that way. God made her that way.
It's the same word that's used sometimes to describe somebody that's sick or feeble.
Mm-hmm.
So
in their
being, you know,
right.
Less physically strong.
Exactly. So this is the big one. This is the huge one that I'm so excited to get to. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, equal, co-heirs. He is an heir, I'm an heir. He doesn't get any more from my dad than I do. He doesn't get any more from my heavenly father than I get. We are co-heirs. We're equal in this. Okay, so let's read that. Husbands, listen up. Dwell with your wife with understanding, giving honor to her, the wife, as the weaker physical vessel, and as being a co-heir, because that's what heir means, co-heir, as being a co-heir together of the grace of life. Now, let me see. If I had a pick of having a life full of grace versus not having a life full of grace, I think I'd pick the one with grace. Because who doesn't need grace in their life? Who doesn't need God to really shed his love abroad in their heart, being full of grace and mercy? All of us do. We all do. Children are the inheritors of the Father. Children equals male and female. So when a parent passes away, like my parents both have passed away, and my mom and dad had some things that we had to sell, and so because it had to go into like a, I don't even know what it's called anymore, an estate or whatever, it's in a special bank account. And
like a trust.
A trust, and now, 7 years it matures, and then it gets split between the co-heirs. I have one brother, two other sisters, and me, so it's going to be split. co-heirs. All of us get something. My brother, the oldest now, does not get more than the sisters. He gets the same. It's an equal partner. It's an equal heir. And that's what this is saying, as being heirs together. Do you treat your wife like she's an heir of the Holy God? Like, she's a queen. Like, she gets the goods. When it's being doled out, she gets as much as you do. Is she being treated that way? Behind closed doors, kids watching, does she get treated that way? Now, I know there are some husbands that say, my wife doesn't treat me like I'm a co-heir. My wife doesn't treat me like I'm very smart. My wife doesn't treat me like she wants to be treated. You're not responsible for your wife. You are only responsible for you. So I have a story that I want to tell, and it's a story about Tim, and it was during a time that we had, and he's going to share about this in a minute, but I want to share something about how closely kids are watching you that you don't really realize that they're watching you. So we were going through a real hard time. It was a very growing period in our marriage. It went on for about 8 months, maybe 10. I can't remember how long. Went on for a long time. That felt like eternity to me, I'll have to tell you. But Tim was only 10, I think, maybe 11, somewhere in there. And we're school shopping. So
maybe, he's less than that.
Well, whatever it was. We're school shopping for Tim. Now, Tim is a kid that is ADHD. He is hard to take into public. He hates shopping, especially if he doesn't get what he wants. And he's 10 years old. Put all of that together, and you can tell what our day has been like so far. And so we're going from the Valley Mall out to Walmart for school supplies. And we aren't talking. And Tim's sitting in the back seat. And all of a sudden, this is what he does. All right, you guys, what's going on? And we're like, huh? I can tell something's wrong. You guys aren't talking like you normally do. What's the matter? What's going on with you guys? And I'm like, whoa, this kid is totally picked up. Mom and Dad's attitudes have changed toward each other. Mom and Dad don't treat each other like they did a few months ago. And he's lived this now from June to August, like 2 months he's lived in this, and he's seen it happening, and he's like, finally he was done. And I'm like, whoa, that kid is really astute that he picked up on that. But aren't all of our kids kind of that way? Our kids feel it.
The environment.
Even if they're not in your home, they know it. We go down all the time to Tri-Cities. We're around Melissa, her husband, sweet Adam, and we're around those kids. And they see the way we treat each other. It's like we're not normal to Adam. He's not used to this. And there are a lot of people that are like that. They're not used to seeing this depth of partnership. But our kids are watching. And those of you that have are grandkids. They're watching everything we do, everything we say. So, Dad, how you're treating Mom, Junior, he sees it all right there. Mom and Daddy are getting ready to kiss, and what's Junior doing? He's waiting for the lip lock right there. That's what he's doing. He's watching with bated breath until Daddy and Mommy connect.
But if you get up close, too, he's on the picture. He's cringing, too, because the kid's kind of... Yeah, don't remember our kids used to go, oh,
yeah,
stop
but he's
it.
Smiling so big, I think the cringe is from the smile. I'm going to go there.
I think it's a little bit of both.
But it's so cute because when our kids can see our love like that, it gives them peace and it gives them a boundary of, hey, you know what? If it's a girl, I want to find a guy just like my dad. And if it's a guy, kid, I want to find a woman just like my mom. Can our kids say that about us? Really? And I know this is kind of going off, fathers, but I think you guys understand what I'm saying is that we're being watched. Every single one of us are being watched. How many of you dads have a spiritual kid in your life? I know he does. I mean, there's a lot of people that we aren't even realizing that watch us. And they may not even be related to us. Do you have anything?
Not yet.
Well, Mike is going to tell a story about that period of time. And it actually really explains this scripture. So I'm going to let him.
Well, what ended up happening is Gay went through like three or four really difficult things. And what was happening is that there was times that she was trying to tell me how she was feeling about everything. And I was of this mindset, because it had to do with some things people did to her and some things that happened to her. The things that happened to her weren't as big for me to hear as the other things, you know, like conflicts and stuff. And I was of this, almost like a holier than thou. It's like, I don't want to hear it, you know.
Yeah. Home and you were on a high.
Well, no, but I'm talking about just this first part. Yeah, this first part was you were trying to communicate to me about things that were on your heart. And yet I said, oh, I don't want to hear about them, you know, because if
not
they had...
Not out loud you didn't say that. You just betrayed it.
Right. Well, no, I mean, there were times that you don't remember. There were times that you started to try to communicate to me about things that were happening with people. And I just like, you know, it's, you know, I just, you know, basically I don't want to hear that because I don't want to think bad about it. Mm-hmm. It was pretty immature thinking. And so what ended up happening is then we went to Baton Rouge.
Not me, you.
No, I went to Baton Rouge I think it was the interns back then. And we were there for, you know, almost 5 days or something. But just before we were leaving, a major crisis happens with Gay, and I'm walking out the door.
Like, you one
know,
hour.
1 hour, okay. You know, and so, you know, she's really, you know, holding the weight of this. And so then I go to a conference, and the conference is amazing. All these things are going on. You get excited, you know. And so I come back all excited, you know, and I want her to, you know, to join me in my excitement. But she's like had these things happen that have been just like overwhelming her. And I'm like not really paying that much attention to it because, you know, I've got to keep my joy. I've got to keep my heart right. I've got to, you know, I've got to almost in a way, create a barrier, you know, a barrier so that her heaviness doesn't affect me. It was very selfish. And I didn't realize what I was doing at the time. I was just being, you know,
a dumb guy.
Yeah, very dumb guy. And if I'm stepping on dumb guy's toes, I'm sorry. But anyway, that's what happened to me. So it was around, just right around, it was after Christmas, wasn't it? Right around the first of the year, yeah. Gay was just like sitting there, and she made this comment out loud.
It was a Saturday night.
Saturday night, she made this comment out loud. No, it was a Sunday night.
No, Saturday night, because you stewed on it for the whole day, and then we talked on Sunday night, because I had to get up and go.
Oh, yes, when you made the comment. We had the conversation Sunday. Yeah, you know how it is. Like, no, that's not the way. Anyway, yeah, it was Saturday night. She made this comment. I was sitting beside her, and she said, boy, I just feel like I'm just about to lose my faith, something like that. And that really alarmed me, because that was very similar to what I had heard from my previous wife who left me and abandoned me and Aaron, and just before she left, she had made that comment. So I'm like, oh man, this is not good. So all these scenarios are going through my head, you know. It's like, oh, I'm revisiting, you know, the past, and I started, you know, painting the pictures of how bad the future could be and everything. And so it was Sunday night, and we were sitting there. I said, honey, can I ask you something, and can I tell you something? And so I told her that what she had said had really affected me.
And because I was at such a state of...
Oh, so?
Well, like I was at such a state of disconnect,
yeah,
with him.
Yeah, she was really disconnected.
He said to me, have I ever said anything that reminds you of your first marriage?
Oh, that's what it was, yeah.
Both of us had spouses that left us for other people. And he said, have I ever said anything to you that's taking you back to a time with your first husband? And I'm like, no, don't think so. Dead air. crickets chirping. And then all of a sudden I realized there was a reason he asked that. And I said, why, have I? And he goes, yeah. I said, well, what did I say? And he goes, well, last night you just kind of just flippantly said you feel like you're losing your faith. And I'm like, oh. And he said, that's what my first wife said to me the week before she left me. And I go, oh. Well, I'm not going to leave you.
Yeah.
I mean, I just said it just that crass.
She
I
did.
Just, my heart was so cold. My emotions were so broken. The relationship was broken, but I knew that I was in it for the long haul and I was just going to stick with it no matter what. I just had that in my mind. So when I said, well, I'm not going to leave you. I could see him almost physically start like, wow, she's in a really bad place. Okay, go on.
So that's when, you know, we opened up and we communicated back and forth for about 2 hours, you know, and there was times that I was asking for forgiveness and crying and she was crying and a real healing started. I mean, it took time. You know, you don't create 8 months or 10 months, whatever it was of you know, and it wasn't like it happened overnight. It was just, that's the way these things happen. You know, the enemy comes in, he puts things in her ears, put things in my ears, and you know, his goal is to finally get us to the place where one of us does leave because he wants broken lives, he wants broken marriages. And so
let me just say this one thing, and I've come from a place where I was very independent. I did everything on my own. I didn't expect anything from him. Like, I never really asked for any favors. I never really asked him to do anything. If something needed to be done, I just did it because I was used to doing that. And I actually took away some of his joy because he liked doing some of those things. He would have liked to do some of those things, but I'm just so capable because I've made myself that way in the past relationship that it just didn't dawn on me. Because then at that point when we're talking, just before all of the tears and the forgiveness, I'm thinking to myself, well, if I have to go through this relationship with two people alone, I will. That was just my mindset. That's just the way I thought. I was independent enough to do what I needed to do. I was not going to dishonor God by leaving my husband because I loved my husband. At that point, I didn't like him very much, but I did love him. And so God had a long trip for me to make. For Mike, I think it was a quicker trip because the revelation was so there. But for me, it took almost as many months coming out as it did going in. I mean, it really did.
Yeah, so, but you got to share all those things that night. You got to say what they all were. And you know, you may think that the trip was long, and it probably was in your heart. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there was like a drastic change the next morning. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was night and day. And so she was in the shower, and this is the part that's interesting. I'm laying in bed, and all of a sudden, all these things are coming to my mind. It's like things that I had been asking the Lord about or thinking about. I mean, like verses and even like, you know, like Bible studies and all this stuff would just like, and they'd be like, boom, 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 just like downloading. It was like, and I told her when she got out of the shower, it's like, boy, I guess got like overwhelmed. All of a sudden the Lord spoke to my heart, 1 Peter 3:7. I went and I looked it up. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So this chasm that I was building, this trench that I was building, separating her emotions from my emotions to protect me, wasn't just separating me from her, it was separating me from God. It was keeping me from being able to receive what God had for me. Not that God didn't love me, not that God didn't care for us as couples or individuals, but that our union, our joint union that we have, co-heirs, was like broken. Mm-hmm. And it made a brokenness in me. So here I was thinking I was doing all great and everything, but I wasn't. And so since then I've learned that when she's suffering, I'm suffering. When I'm suffering, she's suffering. That she's my co-heir in Christ, for eternity, and my wife second. Mm-hmm. Just as my kids are my they're co-heirs as well. Mm-hmm. And they're our kids second. Mm-hmm. They're part of the great inheritance of God. And so I guess what I learned is that you cannot short circuit your kingdom responsibilities with your family in a way so that you can maintain whatever it was a false maintaining too, because I was actually greater and happier after that brokenness between us than the 8 to 10 months. I was deluded, and I was delusional, and I was deceived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is that what you wanted me to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
So good. The vulnerable part. That's what I was talking about. But
I was pawn scum. Let's just put it that way. Yeah.
He's come up in the world. He's no longer that. No. So let me tell
and
you.
I was a pastor at the time. So don't. Yeah.
So we all have growth pains.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of us have growing pains in our relationships, in our spiritual walk, in everything. But what we have to realize is, God is not surprised by the person He's put us with. He's not shocked that Angela and Tyson are married with 2 kids. He planned it that way. So if they go through growing bumps and pains, it doesn't mean that God has removed His hand. He's just saying, okay, let's see how you grow through this. Let's see where you really go through this. Where are you headed? Okay, another story. About 3 years ago, maybe not even that long.
We're driving in the car with Tim again.
We're driving in the car with Tim again.
We always get his great little statements. We're driving in the car with him.
I don't know why, but that's how it is. So he says to us, I have a question for you guys. Now this is, you know, wonderfully 7, almost 8 years later, so he's not really remembered that time when he says, what's going on, you know? So he's sitting in the back seat, and we're in the front and driving, and he says, why don't you guys ever fight? And we're like, I don't even know. I think you answered it. What did you say to him?
I said, no, we don't fight, but I said we have disagreements, and we have different opinions, and we'll discuss those. I mean, and sometimes, you know, intensely, but
yeah.
We're not fighting.
We don't ever fight. And he said, he's like, so the kids at school, they're all coming to school, and they're saying their parents fight all the time. And, like, some of them are like physical fights, Mom. And I'm like, really? And he's like, so they asked me, well, do your parents fight? And Tim's like, no, my parents never fight. And they're like, are you kidding? Like, these kids had been so used to their parents fighting, bickering, and arguing, and all the things that they saw, they didn't realize that there was another way to do marriage. And so our kids have grown up with this on-the-job training that we honor one another. Our kids are watching us. Dad, you're being watched more than you know. And God has placed you fathers in a spiritual headship of your home. And He didn't give you that to let you take advantage of that. He gave you that as an honor. Your kids are a blessing from God. Your wife is a blessing straight from heaven. And if you weren't a co-heir with her, somebody else would be. Think about that. And treat her appropriately. Treat your kids appropriately. We have to have the mindset, and I think all of us do this, is that life is first and spirituality is second. We have to flip that. Because this time in our lives, this time from start to finish, is such a small part of our whole eternity, that how we treat our wives as a co-heir is going to matter more than how we treat our wives or husbands as our spouses, our parents. God looks at us in the spiritual, and He wants us to look at us in the spiritual first, and then bring in, you know, the hard times or the growing pains or whatever, then bring that in. But if it's flip-flopped, there's an out of balance there. See, in that scripture, when it talks about honor, that honor is actually if you had a little pencil and you could actually draw a line with the little arrow, that honor actually is connected to air, grace, and prayers. Because it says, in one of the scriptures, it says, so that your prayers may not be hindered. It's like, likewise, husbands, which means, so husbands, listen up. Remember I said that so word? It's like it's saying, so, hey, husbands, listen up, so that your prayers will not be hindered. And what he meant by this download was like things he'd been praying about for months. He just felt like he wasn't getting any answers to. And I think he referred to it as a popcorn prayer, how it pops up and it pops to the ceiling and comes back down like popcorn, you know? And you just don't feel like anybody's really listening. Whereas then when he's laying in bed and he's like, I get out of the shower and I come out and I'm looking, and I mean, he's sobbing. He and God have had such a connection that morning. He's crying. And it's like God just has really worked on him like an overnight thing. And so what I'm telling you is this growth thing, this right here can be seem so overwhelming, but it really isn't, because he made us capable of being a co-heir. He put us, what's in us, he put that in us so that we can do that. We can honor. We can be a co-heir. We can live a life of grace. And we can pray to him and have our prayers answered. We can. This isn't something to shoot for. This is something you already have.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that's already there. It just has to be implemented, or it just has to be appropriated correctly. So if the honor's not there, it's going to be hard to have the grace there. And if the honor's not there, it's going to be hard to have your prayers answered. If the honor's not there, it's going to be hard to have a life of grace. So, but he makes us capable because we have that in us. He gave that to us. We're capable, all of us, of being a co-heir together.
No, that's good. Yeah, I would just add this, that there, you know, just as that picture is showing, that there are individuals watching. There's people watching. There's families, other families that are watching. There's other marriages that are watching your life. You know, it's because you've made a statement that you're a believer. And I believe when we make a statement that we're a believer, it makes you a target, sometimes for good and sometimes for bad. But I believe that even those ones that were bad, you know, either mistreating you or, you know, not saying anything to you, they're watching you. And you just have to know that, yeah, it's a responsibility. But you don't have to do it in your own strength. Just as when we had that difficult time, I didn't have to do that in my own strength. It wasn't my own strength. We were relying on God. We were praying and asking God to heal our hearts and to have something happen supernaturally that then would affect our natural lives. And I think, you know, like what you said, starting with the supernatural, and with, I think it's even sometimes better to think, you know what, the natural life is already highly influenced by the supernatural. I just have to remember that, you know, because supernaturally we're co-heirs.
Right.
I mean, it's already there. You know, we've both been ransomed by Christ, and so we're already, like you said, joint heirs, co-heirs, however you want to put it. And so now, can we appropriate that in our relationship, where we treat each other with respect and honor as co-heirs of Christ? Right. Not just, you know, not just, you're my husband, you have to listen to me, or you're my wife, you know, you have to do what I say. That we treat each other with the value that God has already put on us. And that is not always easy.
Right.
But if we do that, I believe that our lives will be better. Our marriages will be better.
It's
our family
truly a gift
environments
that we
will
give.
Be better. It is.
It's a gift that we give.
Yep.
And I like nothing more than to see the happiness on my husband's face when he opens a gift and he's truly happy about it. Because he is the hardest person to get anything for. Because he has everything and he doesn't want anything. And so to have him open a present and actually be pleased by it, like, that's rare. So I know that it's a gift to him when we are together like that. I know that's a gift to me as well. And what's the most wonderful thing is, let's say that it's been that 10 months for us right now. And this happened last night. And we're preaching about it today, which it didn't, but let's just pretend, just for sake to say it. We don't have to go back in our spiritual relationship with God all the way back to a year ago and pay penance. We don't have to go back and learn anything that we've just lived through. We get to start today. His mercy is new.
That's good.
Today. So you may say, boy, I have totally bombed this one. You know, I can't do anything with that now. Oh, yeah, you can. His mercy is new today. Today starts the fresh Amen. New for you and for me.
That's good. Amen. So this is the point where, does anyone have anything they want to share? Roger, yes. Right.
But then she initiated, and then she would say, "Dad, what's my mom?" And I said, "Well, I don't know all the time, you know. I'm just kind of using that as a maybe a lame excuse."
Yeah.
Because I really wasn't. So anyway,
she wanted to see you guys being affectionate.
Exactly. So after some time went by, then and Cindy would go kind of like this, like, "Come here, give me a kiss on the cheek." And then I could see Angela sitting in another room, and she was like watching this thing, and it was like she was saying, like, he's finally getting it. So I thought it was kind of interesting.
That is good.
She was observing something that was lacking that I was taking for granted.
Yeah. We can be pretty dense. The men can be pretty dense, unfortunately. You know, we can be like a hard rock until, you know, the Lord breaks us, so. Well, thank you, Father, for this time. And Lord, we do. We again thank you for our families and our spouses. And Lord, I honor the men right now, Lord, that you have placed in this body and are fathers of not just their own children, Lord, but fathers of other individuals, Lord, who need care and shepherding and mentoring. So I just ask you to bless them, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to let this message that Pastor Gay brought go into their hearts, and where there's areas that they need growth, Lord, I pray that you would come and water that area and tend to that area, Lord, so that it would grow and bear the fruit that you desire. Lord, fruit that would be everlasting fruit, fruit that would remain. And Lord, I thank you that this is Father's Day, but I thank you, Lord, that you're our Heavenly Father. You are our good, good Father. You are our Daddy, and you watch over us, and you watch over our lives, and you have a divine plan and purpose for every single one of us, including the dads here.
And so, dads, would you please stand?
Hey.
And ladies, help us pray over a blessing over our fathers. Father, we lift all of our wonderful men to you, God. We pray, Lord God, a blessing on their lives. Father, we thank you, God, because they are here today because they honor you and they honor us, Lord, and we want to give that honor back to them. God, we pray that their day would be blessed, that their hearts would be enriched, God, and Father, that they would recognize that you love them so much, that you are with them. And Jesus, we just pray blessing on them now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So dads, we have a coffee mug for you. Come please to the side and just pick one out for yourselves. Jesse, you as well?
Jesse's for yourself. Already got one.
No, you got that for dad.
He what?
You got that for dad.
He got that for his dad. Oh. He's a good dad, a good son, yeah.
No, I told him he had
one. Oh yeah, okay. Blessings. Love you guys. Have a wonderful day and a great, great Father's Day.
And lead me in the way everlasting. God, ask God to just illumine your heart. See if there's anything that maybe the Holy Spirit would just bring to mind. You just want to kind of go ahead and confess to the Lord and just get free from before we jump in.